Good morning. A small change in the order of the service. I will not ask you to stand if you are able. So please remain seated. Chapter 9. David asked, "Is there anyone still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show kindness for Jonathan's sake?" Now there was a servant of Saul's household named Ziba. They called him to appear before David. And the king said to him, "Are you Ziba, your servant?" He replied. The king asked, "Is there no one still left in the house of Saul to whom I can show God's kindness?" Ziba answered the king, "There is still a son of Jonathan. He is crippled in both feet." "Where is he?" the king asked. Ziba answered, "He is at the house of Machir, son of Amiel, in Lodabar." So King David had him brought from Lodabar from the house of Machir, son of Amiel. When
the people shouted.
I know. Sorry, I apologize. When Mephibosheth, son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David, he bowed down and paid him to pay him honor. David said, "Mephibosheth, your servant," he replied. "Don't be afraid," David said to him, "for I will surely show you kindness for the sake of your father Jonathan. I will restore to you all the land that belonged to your grandfather Saul, and you will always eat at my table." Mephibosheth bowed down and said, "What is your servant that you should notice a dead dog like me?" Then the king summoned Ziba, Saul's servant, and said to him, "I have given your master's grandson everything that belonged to Saul and to his family. You and your sons and your servants are to farm the land for him and bring in the crops so that your master's grandson may be provided for. And Mephibosheth, grandson of your master, will always eat at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. May the Lord add his blessing to hearing and reading of his word this day.
Thank you, Roy, for reading the scripture. And I know sometimes there are some technical terms we encounter in the Bible, and that makes our reading very, very exciting. And so thank you so much. Thank you so much for reading some important names. And now, names are very important in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament. Names are based on situation, context, and story and history. And it's not only in Old Testament, but if you go to any Middle East country, any Middle Eastern society, or in any African society, or any traditional society, you will always find certain names related with the forefather, grandfather, or how important the grandfather or ancestors were in the village or in the community, and the names are given. And so Mephibosheth will appear in this because there is a certain reason why his name is such as Mephibosheth. And also today, our main term, we will be dealing with Lodabar. And in the scripture, Mike just put on the title about my sermon today, God in Lodabar. And if you read the scripture, you will find that it is Lodabar. And I literally use the word, Hebrew word, devar, because that is how it is read in Hebrew. And so I am going to use devar in place of debar. A few years ago, The church I was serving in San Francisco, we went for our annual church retreat. Now, the retreat center was located in a isolated place away from the city. It was located at a very high place above 5,000 feet above the sea level. The roads were windy, crooked, curvy, and it was at the top of that mountain we had the church members, the retreat gatherers. We had the experience of mountaintop experience to be close to God, to have a closer relationship with God. Now, if we read the scripture, few Sundays ago, I talked about the disciples having a mountaintop experience with Jesus before they fought about who is the most important person in the kingdom of God. And so in the Bible, we have a lot of the people of God having mountaintop experiences. We know Moses, when he received the law, when he was called by God, he was having a mountaintop experience. Now, Jesus also had the mountaintop experience during his transfiguration. But every time people have a mountaintop experience, when they come down from the mountain, they come down to the valley, and they were faced with challenges in life. That's the same thing in our lives. Sometimes we go through high up in the mountaintop, we have a mountaintop experience, experiencing God's blessing all the time. But when we come down to the valley, we always face challenges. We always face situations where sometimes we might even question God, God, are you still there? And so we all go through those situations in life. In this story, which Roy just read, here is a man who had similar situation, and his name is Mephibosheth. It is in Hebrew, and the name Mephibosheth can mean three things. It's not only one. You see, it means destroyer of shame, somebody who destroys shame, or it also means out of my mouth proceeds reproach. Or it can mean image breaker. You see, the name Mephibosheth means three things. Now, if you want to ask why three, you have to come to adult Sunday school. I'm not going to tell you. So, it means so many things. And in Hebrew, in Greek, in Aramaic, we do not have the exact word to translate a lot of the meanings, original meaning, original context. And so it requires a more detailed conversation, which I want to reserve those kind of conversation in adult Sunday school. Now, this is a story about distress that is experienced, that is caused by change in the life of this person. It is also a story about an invitation that was accepted. It is about a story about friendship, promise, grace, love, compassion, forgiveness, hope. Now, this is in chapter 9 in 2 Samuel, but if we read the previous chapter in 2 Samuel, in chapter 8, in chapter 7, I'm just reading downward because usually Hebrew is written from right to left, and so I'm just going that way. Now, if we read chapter 8 and 7 and so on, it tells us about the relationship, the friendship between David and Jonathan. They were very, very close friends. And when we talk about close friends, you have to go back to some of those traditional societies in the Middle East, in African society, in any traditional society, you can learn what close friends mean. And so Jonathan and David, they were very close. David and Jonathan also made a covenant of friendship to each other, promising that whoever survived or outlived each other, that other person would look after each other's family. Now that was the promise of friendship. And now Saul had failed as the first king, and so Saul was rejected. David is installed as the king. At a time, Jonathan and Saul died in the same battle. Mephibosheth was only 5 years old at that time. The situation was chaotic. Now, if you have seen any movies about war, battle, you will understand what I'm talking about. It was a very chaotic situation. The king is dead, the prince is dead, and now what will happen to the small children? So the nurse picks up the child, and while running for their lives, the nurse drops the little baby Mephibosheth, and while she was able to save his life, he is now crippled for life. Mephibosheth belonged to the royal line, but now he lived in exile and fear from King David. He was subject to persecution and slander, but he was rescued due to a promise that was made to his father that Mephibosheth never heard of that promise. Now, this little boy, Mephibosheth, would still be in trouble if David never kept his promise. Because in our own lives, sometimes we have trouble keeping our promises to each other in each other's face sometimes. But David is faced with a challenge of keeping his promise now that his friend is dead. The reason David is faced with a problem and challenge is because most kings in ancient times would completely destroy the families of their rivals in order to prevent any of the family from trying to regain the throne. But here is David. He did not do that. He did not search for the remnants of the family of his enemies to kill them, to completely erase them from the face of the earth so that no one will come and challenge his throne. David did not do that. He actively sought after the descendants of his friend in order to keep his promise. And so the scripture says, the story says, he sent his servants to look for him in Lo-debar, a city east of the River Jordan. Now the name of this city is in Hebrew. The word Lo means no. Debar means so many things. It could mean word, it could mean thing, it could mean matter, it could mean so many things. But if we look at the word lo, devar together, it means no word, no communication, or as in our vernacular term, we say no nothing. Sometimes we use that term, right? Even though it's not a correct grammatical term, we still use know-nothing. And so this city is called know-nothing because it was cut off from any form of communication. Nobody would go and live there. Nothing was happening in that city. No one would go and settle in that city. It was completely cut off from any kind of city life, town life, or development, advancement. Do you know any place, any town, any city, in even in our state, in New Hampshire or in Northeast, any place that you would never go and live there in 1,000 years? There might be some places you can visit, but not live there, settle there, because it is cut off from any kind of city life or communication. No gas station, no convenience store, no supermarket, or nothing is going on in that city. And so Lodivar was a city like that. In other terms, we can call that city was a barren city. Nothing was happening. A city that was characterized by its barrenness or wastelands or devastation. And so David's search took his servant to the city of no word, no communication, Lodavar, a city, a town in the midst of nothing, in the midst of wilderness. Lodavar was a place of no pasture, no greenery. It was desolate in Lodavar. So down in Lodavar, Mephibosheth lost his rank, lost his prestige, lost his respectability, and lost his reputation, lost his superiority, lost his self-will. And down in Lodavar, Mephibosheth went from living in the palace to hiding out with a family friend. Mephibosheth went from being the prince to a servant. He went from being powerful to being afraid. And now in Lodavar, the orphan Mephibosheth was found and was afraid for his life. David did not want to take his life. David wanted to save it. And by restoring him all that had been taken away from him. But Mephibosheth was going to have to trust David in order for that to happen. The name Mephibosheth, now 20 years old, means he scatters shame, or destroying shame. Now this young man came face to face with David. And when he came, the scripture says, story says, he fell flat on the floor in an act of submission. He referred to himself as a dead dog, meaning he felt like he had no value or worth. Now, in today's time, in our context, in our society, in our time, we love dogs so much. But in biblical times, dogs were not held in such high regard as they are now. Dogs didn't have their own houses. They didn't have their clothes. They didn't have their primary care doctor, or they did not have their specialized food from Whole Foods. That was when dog was a dog. And so when Mephibosheth came, he bowed down before David and said, "I am just like a dead dog who does not have any value." Because he really didn't know how things were going to work out. All he knew was that the kings in his time had a way of destroying all the remnants of his enemies' families. And so he humbled himself. He fell on his face and he confessed his unworthiness. David quickly put him at ease, offered him forgiveness, and invited him to dine at the king's table, and he cared him for the rest of his life. Now, this young man was accepted and adopted into the royal family. David took him anyway to the throne and gave him back everything that was taken away from him. This story of David and Mephibosheth does not end here. This story of Mephibosheth is really a picture of you and me before God. Until we become God's children by being born again into God's family, we are enemies of God and we are exiled in Lodavar. And we become God's enemies. God's enemies are any person who displeases God and breaks his commandments, who cannot humble himself, herself before the Lord. Mephibosheth was a member of the enemy family, but God had a special invitation waiting for him. And this story is included in 2 Samuel to show us God's promises that is available to us through Jesus Christ. Like David, our Lord searches for us until he finds us in Lodavar situation. Like David did, once Jesus finds us, he tries to have a little talk with us. And then if we are willing and ready, our Lord Jesus Christ redeems us. Jesus restores and returns us to our Father's table in peace. We too are heirs to our Heavenly Father's kingdom. But somebody, some situation dropped us while we were running away for our lives from the presence of God. Now, David's life was exemplary of the love of God. It came out of a merciful heart. He didn't have to find Jonathan's son. Nobody else was there when he made the covenant with Jonathan. Nobody knew that David had made that promise. And nobody would even care because that promise was made only between Jonathan and David, and nobody is alive, and nobody knew what promise they made. And after the way Saul tried to kill David so many times, he could have said, forget the whole thing. His father tried to kill me so many times, and so I am not gonna do anything to rescue him. But David was gracious and sought after the undeserving and gave all that could have been his. Only God can touch human being and make him do this kind of deed. Mephibosheth was lifted from poverty to plenty through the grace of the king. Let us just put ourselves in the shoe of Mephibosheth. Every day, God shows us kindness and mercy. We are undeserving, but he keeps on blessing us anyways. We are undeserving, but he keeps on keeping us. We are undeserving, but he keeps only striving with us. We are undeserving, but he keeps on forgiving us. We are undeserving, but he keeps on loving us. He keeps on coming where we are to bless us and lift us up. God, in his loving kindness, offers us everlasting life. the choice is ours. We have fallen and we are crippled, but we don't have to stay there in Lodivar for so long. We have become crippled. We are lame from our falls. We are running for our lives. We got so busy running till we tripped and fell. We have fallen into trouble. We have fallen into confusion. We have fallen out of the will of God. We have fallen into sin. We have fallen into yokes and burdens. We have fallen into our own ways instead of God's ways. We have fallen into curses. We have fallen into selfishness. We have fallen into pride, unforgiven spirits. We have even carried and dropped. We have been dropped by someone who was trying to save you, dropped by someone else's fall, dropped by someone else's sins, dropped into a place where you don't belong. Now we can't even walk straight. Every time you try to get on your feet, you fall down. Every time you try to walk, you fall down. Every time you make a vow to the Lord, you find yourself having to take it back. Or every time you promise the Lord, "I won't do that no more," you fall down again. Every time you try to do the right thing, wrong thing kick you all over and laugh you in your face. We may be content to live in Lodivar because we are alive, but the word of God says, get up. I know you are crippled by despair. I know you are crippled by death of loved ones. I know you are crippled by diseases. I know you are crippled by things from your past. I know you are crippled by desires that won't turn you loose. I know you are in pain. I know you are locked in habits that you can't come out of. But the word of God says, I implore you today, I invite you today, I call you to come out of Lodivar. You can come out. Come on, you can come out. I know that you feel like you are nothing. I know you feel like you are nobody. I know you've been walked on by many people, by many challenges, by many circumstances. I know you have been down so long that you don't even know which way is up or which way is down. But the word of God says, come on, come on. You can come out of Lodivar today. You don't belong to Lodivar. You don't belong there. You belong in the King's palace of grace and mercy. And you can come back. You can come out of Lodivar. There is nothing but death for you. Come out of Lodivar. There is only defeat for you there. Come out of Lodivar where there is wasteland there. Come out of Lodivar, there is no pasture there. Even in the valley, there are no green pastures. Come out of Lodivar to a pure relationship with God. God says, come out of Lodivar to victory over Satan. Come out of Lodivar to victory in Jesus. Satan wants you to think that you won't make it out of Lodivar. But the word of God says, come out. You can make it. God has something better for you. God has a way out for you. You don't have to die in sin. God has prepared a way of escape for you. Just walk in it. Just walk. Just crawl. But you have to go through the door of repentance. Repent, repent, and repent. Come out of Lodivar.